Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey, now joined by the boys from TechSideline.com, Chris Coleman and Will Stewart. Send me an email, kyle.bailey@cumulus.com. And you can find us on Twitter at TheClubhouseKB. Follow these guys on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL and at Will Stewart TSL. They are here today to preview the Furman Paladins because we are all so sick of talking about Ohio State, Virginia Tech.
Those Paladins will get after you.
Purple.
Can we just play this game already on Monday night? Can we just do this?
I wish we just go ahead and play it tomorrow.
Right? There is something cool about, you know, being the only show on only show in town on Monday night.
And I think Tech's going to do well, so it will be good to be the main event.
Well, you just jumped right to it.
Yeah.
You just did okay, give me a prediction.
Well, I meant against Furman.
Oh, okay. Well, that's true. That's what I did bring you on to talk about.
I guarantee Tech will beat Furman.
I don't know. It's like, what, 4 days rest, 5 days rest? You never really know. Like you said, Furman will get after you.
Yep.
We'll talk about Furman next week. I was talking to Paul Keels earlier, the voice of the Buckeyes, and he talked about JT Barrett being named a captain last week, and now Cardale Jones being rushed to the hospital with a migraine issue, both of which could indicate to a lot of people what I already expected, that JT Barrett would be the starting quarterback for this team Monday night. Who do you two expect to see?
I think it's going to be Barrett. I don't think you lose your starting position due to an injury unless, you know, you're Braxton Miller and you just really can't throw the ball very well anymore. I think Barrett's the more mature guy anyway. I mean, you go all the way back to early in Jones' career when he was talking about, why should we have to go to class, blah, blah, blah. I just don't think he's a mature, leader of a football team.
You got to clarify that story. So tell the story for listeners who've never heard.
Remember he tweeted something about...
Sure, and he was a freshman, right?
Yeah.
He was a freshman at Ohio State, and he tweeted, I don't know why we got to go to class. We ain't here to play school.
Cardale Jones.
Which, you know what?
It
was a dumb thing to tweet.
Right.
And you're right. You know, there have been the issues of student-athlete inequalities and deficiencies that have been addressed by the NCAA and by Claudia Wilkin, a judge.
Yep.
But at the same time, I do think he was probably beaten up a bit too much for that.
Probably so.
Because, he had some time to grow and to mature, and I'm going to assume that he did, at least to some marginal degree.
I know. Yeah. I'm sure he has.
But
I still think Barrett's the more mature guy.
He is.
And the guy I would want leading my football
team. Well, JT Barrett's not the one living on Twitter, you know, talking about his love for Ronda Rousey all the time, you know, and playing practical jokes on the fan. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to be the old curmudgeon here. Some of this stuff's fine. Some of it I think is hilarious.
He said he was transferring to Akron or something
just to
mess with the fans.
Loved it.
Oh, man. If one of our players did that to our fan base, they would freak out.
Now the VT Football Equipment Twitter account, trolling with those pictures of orange uniforms. That wasn't cool.
Not funny. Not okay. If you send them out there one more time looking like orange creamsicles, I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know why they insist on trying that.
Especially when they always lose.
What do you know what the record is when they wear orange?
All orange, they're 0-2, right? 0-3.
Well, have they ever
like
actually
that?
Gone all orange? Oh, yeah. Or is it just orange tops, orange helmet?
1994 UVA.
And a couple
years
ago.
Well, they had maroon
they
helmets on, though.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Have they ever gone like orange helmet, orange shirt, or orange jerseys, orange pants?
They've done orange jerseys, orange pants.
Typically maroon helmets when they do that. Ugh. Yeah, it's just nasty.
Ugh.
And it's always lose orange in that combination. Yeah.
Well, they should.
Oh, of course.
How can you feel confident wearing something like that?
So what were you talking about?
I don't even know. I can't get that vision out of my mind now.
Yeah. So we were talking about the starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I don't have a strongly held opinion on the matter, but it's just the vibe feels like JT Barrett these days.
What he set Big Ten offensive records last year. Would have been the quarterback all the way through, were it not for the injury.
Sure.
He's a different kind of quarterback, but as has been said over and over again by Bud Foster and Urban Meyer, you know, Paul Keel said it earlier, there's not a drastic difference between the way these two guys play the game because they're both playing within the confines of Urban Meyer's offense. And so despite Cardale Jones being a big bruising style runner and JT Barrett being a bit quicker, a bit shiftier, at the end of the day, it really all amounts to the same thing because they're all doing it within the construct of Urban Meyer's offense, which has a pretty good track record.
Yeah. And it made me think about what we talked about last week, how Virginia Tech is starting to recruit quarterbacks with similar talent that can run the same offensive system.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a little bit of a hodgepodge up till now, but that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you look at Cardale Jones, and I think Bud said he reminded them of Logan Thomas. You know, that's a fair comparison.
They're both kind of lumbering runners.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Very straight ahead.
Yeah, you can think about him as your Logan Thomas, and you can think about JT Barrett as your Tyrod Taylor or Brian Randall or somebody like that. they're both athletic enough to execute Urban's offense, but they're also different enough where they bring different strengths to the table, I think.
I want to see what happens Monday night in terms of how creative Urban tries to get. And I think he's going to be forced to get kind of creative. Now, I know that Ohio State has recruited very well. They have. You know, Michael Thomas, the wide receiver, is one of the few ones that we actually know his name that's going to play on Monday night.
Yeah, I wrote the preview today, and I've already forgotten the other
right. Right, exactly. Really, you know, he's a proven commodity is what Michael Thomas is. The rest, not so much.
No, freshmen and sophomores.
Braxton Miller, we know his name. We don't know if he can catch the ball in traffic. We have no idea.
We don't.
To this point. What I do want to see, and I think we'll find out fairly early in this game, is how often, you know, two out of the three of Miller, Barrett, and Jones on the field together.
Sure.
A lot. But I want to see if we see all three on the field at the same time, because I do believe that Bud Foster's defense, if things go the way they're supposed to go, if this defense is what we think it's going to be, they're going to force Urban to get creative on Monday night. I think he's going to be forced to try to reach into that bag of tricks and pull out some things in order to get the football in the end zone.
You know, despite Braxton's lack of experience at receiver, at H-back, he's still going to be one of Ohio State's most experienced football players. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to play heavily into their game plan. I mean, I think they're to give him the ball a lot in the running game. I think they're going to try to throw it to him a lot. I mean, just by the fact that they don't have any other receivers outside of Michael Thomas, and or at least no proven ones. I think all those guys behind Thomas have combined for like one or two career catches. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally they have zero experience. So I don't think they have any choice but to make him a big part of the game plan, even though he's never played a game as an H-back before.
So their H-back position, is that something where they'll get the ball to the guy behind the line of scrimmage? Is it typically?
He'll generally carry it 20 to 30 times a year. Mm-hmm. And also, it's kind of like a...
You can run the option with him.
You can run the option mm-hmm. with him. It is a quasi running back / wide receiver. Like, or if Deion Newsom played for Ohio State, he would be an H-back.
Right.
Yeah. So I can see them trying to get him the ball in space, maybe out in the flat a little bit.
Oh, they will.
I don't know what he'll be like as a receiver down in the teeth of the defense. I don't think anybody knows.
Well, there were some reports a couple of months ago, or maybe not even that long ago, I think it was maybe a month ago, that Ari Wasserman, who covers the Ohio State Buckeyes, he and a couple of members of the press corps up there had seen Cardale Jones and Braxton Miller in practice running the option together, you know, taking some reps that way. So they're going to get creative with how they use Braxton Miller. The other thing, too, is we don't know if Braxton can run a route. You know, honestly, and I know that sounds silly, but route running is an art. You know, route running is a skill. Being at, you know, a 10-yard depth as opposed to a 12-yard depth can make or break a play, as the Hokies proved time and time again last season, you know, in some of the most woeful offensive performances we've ever seen. Also, to me, I think it's going to be important and interesting to see how Ohio State uses its tight end, Nick Vinette.
Oh, yeah, because he's a player.
He's a player. He's a big guy. And they're going to have to try to find mismatches with him because – you know, if you look on the Hokies' defense, you know, who's going to be in charge of, or who's going to be tasked most often than not than with covering Vinette? What, Ronnie Van Dyke?
I mean, it could be, definitely could be, or safety.
Sure.
Yeah, I think when you look and see how Virginia Tech leaned on Ryan Malik early last season before he got hurt, and you saw how they were planning on leaning him on him in 2013 before he got knocked out for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they might have to do that here in this first game, because even if you look at that H-back position, the other H-back who's tied with Braxton at the top of the depth chart is Curtis Samuel. Samuel was a running back last year. You know, pure running back. Had 300 some yards rushing. Not an H-back. So he's not used to running routes either.
No.
You know, he's a true sophomore who's not used to running routes. So you can't tell me that they're going to be operating at 100% efficiency in this game. I don't see how they can not give Zeke Elliott the ball 30 times, even if we are playing a bare front. You almost have to.
You have to. And to your point about being at 100% efficiency, almost no college football team is at 100% efficiency to start the season. Not even the defending national champions, and especially not the defending national champions that have lost as many players as they have. I just point to that North Carolina-South Carolina game last night.
I was going
to
bring that up. That was
horrible.
Bad.
It was one of the, I mean, it was a terrible ball game.
There were times when I was like, did they just do something good, or did they just do something that was terrible? I had no idea what I was watching.
You walked away thinking, did South Carolina win that game, or did North Carolina lose that game?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm inclined to think North Carolina lost that game.
Well,
because Larry Fedora, in his infinite wisdom last night, you know, had a monster of a running back who he didn't give a touch to inside the 24-yard line all night.
What, do you have 12 carries the whole game?
So I think he went 14 carries for 145 yards, is what I last saw.
And what's lost about that game, everybody's talking about Marquise Williams throwing two interceptions in the end zone and three total in the red zone.
Right.
What about the pick six that the UNC defensive back dropped early in the game? Yeah. Remember that?
Yep. UNC could have blown them out.
Oh, yeah.
They could have blown South Carolina.
It could have been 21-0 with 5 minutes left to go in the first quarter.
If we're being honest, it should have been 21-0.
It absolutely should have been. And or at the very least, you know, maybe like 17-0, yeah. Something like that. The potential is there for North Carolina to be really good. I think that's obvious, but they were not very efficient, as we were talking about. I was shocked that Marquise Williams threw those interceptions, man. He's such a good player, and those plays, I mean, where was he throwing the football?
I don't know. I was helping out. I was in Winston-Salem last night helping out with the Wake Forest broadcast. I was helping produce it, and their primary producer and I were having a conversation during that game while we were watching the Battle of the Carolinas, and we just looked at each other and almost said the same thing at the same time. Is Carolina's defense actually better, or is Steve Spurrier's offense just atrocious?
Yeah.
Like, we weren't sure, and it was weird. But to your point about being at 100% efficiency to start the season, almost no one is. And that's what it's going to come down to on Monday night, is who is the most efficient. And one thing that I want to talk about when we come back is there's so much back and forth and so much debate about who's going to win out in the battle between the Virginia Tech defense and the Ohio State offense. Well, if we're being 100% honest, this game is going to be won with the battle between the Virginia Tech offense and the Ohio State defense.
Well, it was last year.
And it was last year, and it's going to be the exact same thing again. It's going to be the exact same thing all over again. Who wins that battle likely determines this game. Now, they play the games for a reason, right? We can sit up here and talk all the days in the world about how, or all the days in the calendar year about if Virginia Tech's defense does this, or if Ohio State's offense does this. It could all go completely opposite. We honestly have no idea, but Virginia Tech's offense versus Ohio State's defense is what's going to win this game. We're going to talk about that more when we come back. We've got Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com here in the McAdoo studios with us for the entirety of hour number two. Follow them on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL and at Will Stewart TSL. Y'all keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.